cover. So I would love to just go ahead and jump right in. And welcome, everybody. Just take a deep breath, and you're here, and we are together. We're all going to meet each other in just a minute. Before we do introductions, I want to just introduce myself. I'm Laura Fine, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be here with all of you, with the great privilege and honor of, you know, being able to talk about and be with you in work that I just find that I'm so passionate about, because I see such tremendous transformations that result because of it. And to be bringing it to INE under Dr. Rita Marie's, with Dr. Marie's practitioners and under her guidance and with her people who are so passionate about holistic health and healing, I just feel very honored and privileged. So before we introduce ourselves, I said I was going to tell you a little bit about me, so let me do that. I've been teaching energy healing and body-mind personal conscious growth. We're in the process of a branding change from calling what I've been teaching transpersonal energy healing to subconscious cellular healing. And the reason we're changing it to that is because it just so much more accurately describes what this work is all about. So if you see me tripping over my tongue, it's because I have a neurological pathway wired to the old trademark, and we're in the process of that transformation now. But I'm very excited about it because I think it really does address exactly what it is we're going to be talking about and learning today, subconscious cellular healing. And I've been doing this work for over 30 years. I started in my early 20s in a spiritual quest and search for personal growth. And it brought me to whatever was in vogue at the time, which was a long time ago, back in exploring, of course, yoga and Tai Chi and Alexander technique and Feldenkrais technique and Traeger technique and polarity energy therapy and body-mind healing. And I became a licensed body worker so that I could have a legal right to put my hands on people, because I was starting to do hands-on healing work and all these weird things were happening to my clients on the table, and I didn't know what it was all about. So then I went to do 4 years of training with Barbara Brennan at the Barbara Brennan School of Healing, and then I did 2 years of Kabbalistic healing, and then I started my own training program with another person under a program called the School for Enlightenment and Healing, and have just been very passionate about the work of mind-body awareness and the incredible effectiveness that it has. And I'm especially moved to be working with all of you as health coaches and people who are passionate about nutrition and holistic health, and to bridge these two worlds together, because it just makes the efficacy of the healing so much more expedient and effective. So that's just a real short cliff note about me. And I'll just share one other thing that probably most of you already know, that I had my own healing crisis, my own health crisis. 18 years ago, I was diagnosed with heart failure, and I almost died, and I became a grateful heart transplant recipient 18 years ago. And I'm sort of like the poster child of heart transplants, because I'm in such great health, and I attribute that really to all the holistic work that I do. So, but it made me a very humbled believer in both Western medicine and complementary medicine, where I had rejected Western medicine entirely before, and now I'm an embracer of both worlds because I'm dependent on both worlds for my life. So before we introduce all of you to each other, I want to just ask a few things. One is, I know, Chris Morgan, you're having a little bit of video problems today, and hopefully you'll be able to figure that out at some point and maybe join us later or next time. But I really want to ask all of us to be on camera for these classes. And the reason is that we're going to do some very deep, intimate, personal sharing. And right now, as you look around, I want you to look around at every little thumbnail picture of each of us that's here, because, and just look at each person. And Debbie, if we can get you in a little more light, that would be super helpful, because you're in a lot of shadow right now, so we could see you. But because we want to get to know each other, and we want to build a safety container. And we also want to request confidentiality, that what you share here stays here, that we don't, some of you may know each other. And if you don't know each other now, you may meet each other at one of the future conferences down the road or one of the in-person classes that we have a couple times a year. And so it's really important that we hold the integrity of confidentiality, because deep sharing often happens in this work. And we want to feel safe and create safety for that to happen, so that we can feel comfortable to disclose what's really challenging us, and also to feel connection with each other, because there's a deeper healing that occurs when we build a supportive community to travel the path of conscious awakening with. So confidentiality, and then, you know, also I want to ask that we do not multitask while we're on these calls. So don't eat food, even if you're hungry, if you could just wait. Of course, drink your water or your tea, but please don't multitask. Don't put your phone far away, flip it over so you don't see who's texting you. Don't do your nails. Don't brush your teeth. Don't do anything else, but give everybody in this group your full undivided attention so that you can get the most benefit out of it as well. So is everybody willing to do that? Can we just put up a hand and say yay to that agreement, and also yay to the confidentiality? Okay, thank you. An agreement on that. And the other thing I want to say before we share is that I want you to imagine that we are really all in the same physical classroom together. So if we were all sitting in the same room together, you wouldn't think about getting up and wandering around the room while somebody else was talking or sharing. And so I want to ask that you do that too, that we give the same respect and full undivided attention to whoever's sharing, so that we can take it deeply and get the most for ourselves out of it. We are creating a group consciousness when we come together. We're creating a group synergy. It's like an energy bubble of consciousness that comes together. And energy is not limited to time, physical time or space. So when we come together as a group, there's a dynamic that's established. So even though we're from all over corners of the globe, we really are in the same psychic space together right now, where a lot of healing can happen. And we will, so I want you to feel as though you have entered, because you have, actually we have entered this energy bubble of consciousness as a group together right here today. So you've entered into that field, to that energy field. We are here, and we're going to be connected into it, plugged into it, until we disconnect at the end of the call. So the other thing too is, I know because calls are recorded, there's a great temptation to be like, oh, let me go see that movie instead and I'll watch the replay. It's not exactly the same experience when we do this work live. You will still get a great deal listening to a replay, but I would really encourage you to take the advantage of the real-time synergy that happens when we meet live on the call and make it a priority. And then we'll talk more about the options of what this class can lead to ultimately for you if you decide that you want to continue on and do further work of this regard down the road. There's two ways that you can go through this class today and through all of our six sessions. Some of you may have already done work of this nature before yourselves quite a bit. So we can come into it with an attitude of, oh yeah, I already know that. Oh yeah, okay, Laura, I already know. I already know about chakras. I've already read all about chakras. I've already studied this about energy. I know about healing. I already know that. Or we can come to this work with an attitude of, I already know that. Wow, I already know that. Because truth doesn't change, but our relationship with the truth changes. So we're going to hear one thing, and wherever we are in our personal growth journey at the time is how we will receive, or how deep we will take it, or to what level of understanding we will have around it. And our relationship, if we are open and receptive, we can take it to another level of truth and self-reflection in our understanding. So is that making sense so far? Can I get some head nods of affirmation if it is? Okay. So let's take a deep breath and a little exhale. And I would love to just open this up now. And I'm going to ask Kimberly to lead us off because I've asked her to also be our timekeeper. And I want to give us each about a minute or so to share. I asked you to think about what you are looking for next in your life, or as a practitioner, as a professional practitioner, or if you're not interested in this work professionally, but more for personal growth, that's fine too. But what are you looking for next, either in your personal and or professional life? And what are your obstacles, or what have been your obstacles or challenges to achieving that goal? So Kimberly, if you will get us started, that would be great.
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm Kimberly. I am, I've been a holistic health practitioner for over 25 years. I've been a body worker, a midwife. I've been in the corporate world training and teaching holistic health coaches. And now I'm in private practice again and doing trauma therapy, somatic trauma therapy, along with functional nutrition coaching. And I also am on the teaching team with TEH, and I get to continue my love of helping people learn and implement their skills with clients. And my current situation, my current goals for my practice is to move beyond just seeing people one-on-one. I have run groups many times, but I want my practice to shift more into more groups and reach more people as opposed to one-on-one coaching. And so my obstacles really are moving through the discomfort of being seen by a larger group of people, and like learning to tolerate that being more seen, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've known Laura for a couple years. The work that I have learned from her has catapulted my private practice in ways that I just didn't think were possible. So I love helping people learn the skills I've learned here in this program, and excited to be here with you guys today. So I hope that's that was a minute.
Thank you, Kimberly. That was wonderful. Yeah. So glad to have you, and I'm delighted that you're part of our teaching team again today. So good.
Thank you. So I'm going to give you all a little just handshake when it's about 50 seconds in, because we're going to want to keep it to about a minute. So I'll just do this at about 50 seconds.
Thanks, Kim. Great. Jan.
Okay. Well, I also help out Laura. I'm on the staff with Laura, and I love what we're doing, the work we're doing. I am a functional nutrition coach from the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology with Dr. Rita Marie, and I also teach cardio and yoga classes at Snow College, and I just received a grant for a nonprofit organization that I'm starting, the Isabella Project, which has to do with working with people on the autism spectrum. And so I really resonated with what Kimberly said. Yes, working through the discomfort of being seen, getting out there, but I finally feel that my passion is bigger than my fear. So, and part of that has been from working with Laura as well, being able to break through those obstacles, and I'm excited about continuing to learn. I love this journey, and it has helped my own family so much. My girls call me and they say, "Mom, I need an energy session." I'm so grateful to be able to help them and to be able to, to better the life of my family and those.
That's great. Thank you so much, Jan. That's wonderful. So we got an interesting theme already here about being seen, huh? Okay. Jessica.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jessica Flagel, and I know many of you from our work together with Rita Marie, but I'm really here for my health coaching practice. I'm a holistic health coach, been practicing for about 3 years, wandered off a little bit, kind of doing the, I wonder if this is really what I'm supposed to be doing sort of a thing, to coming back now, and my practice is just like flourishing. So I'm ready to really grow it, but I really want to dig in and study Laura's technique and learn these things so that I can, better empower my clients. You know, they get stuck in the whole self-sabotage. And that's what really spoke to me, Laura, when you mentioned that part of, of what you teach and just being able to offer them more so that they can, you know, achieve higher success and finding that balance and that health.
Great. Thank you, Jessica. And thanks for bringing that point up about the self-sabotage, because I think that's what so many of our clients, you know, it's such a huge theme around, especially around our relationship with food and eating and nutrition and diet, is how we self-sabotage and how much we use food in an emotional manner. I even see it for myself and my own challenges and struggles, and relationship with that is an ongoing one. So that theme of self-sabotage is really gets so deeply addressed through this work. So thanks for naming that for us. And I'm looking forward to that for you. So, okay, Valerie, welcome back.
Hello. I'm in the NEPT program. And so I'm training. I'm still working on a lot of my own obstacles, and the last couple of months have been pretty difficult. And I'm actually currently actively using these techniques to try to help myself deal with some of the challenges. So I'm really kind of excited about finally making some progress in some tough areas.
Great. Would you be willing to be a little bit more specific about what some of those challenges are for you right now, Valerie?
After listening to Kimberly's talks especially, I realized I stay a lot in the dual activation of fight, flight, and freeze. And that has paralyzed me. So I'm kind of... I'm diving head into some difficult stuff right now.
Good for you. And thanks for sharing that. And I'm sure you're not alone. And we all have trauma to, you know, varying degrees of that programming in our system. And so I love that you're actively and consciously working with it yourself right now to move out of it. So good for you, or to be with it in a different way. Great. Angelica, or Angeli, am I saying it right, Angelica? You're on mute still. There we go.
Hi. Yeah, you said it right.
Good.
I'm Angelica. Hi, everyone. Nice to meet all of you and see all of you. I got introduced to Laura through my own energy healer, with whom I started working about 3 months ago. And like before I actually met my healer, I didn't know energy healing existed. I didn't know anything about it. So it was like a very quick, adoption for me of like, how powerful this is. And I'm really just like, what do I want to do with my goals? I mean, I was just so inspired by my healer and how she was able to help me get out of my own way a little bit. And I would really love to be able to do that for other people. I've always been passionate about health and nutrition. Coincidentally, I'm not a health coach. I'd like to maybe be someday. So just try to explore and see how it's all going to fit together.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Angelica. Great. And I love that you want to help others do that. And you're in a good place to learn more about nutrition with all these health coaches here. Yeah. So that's great. Okay. Lori.
Yes, I just unmuted myself. Hello, everyone. I work with Dr. Itamahi for my own personal health for about 3 years. And then I got the insight to become an energy healer and also working through the soul. So I want to combine them both. I had that insight about 2 years ago. So just this April, I started working with Donna Eden. And I've been hearing about you, Laura, for a few years now because of Lynn and Rita Marie. So finally I'm here with you. And basically, I've been noticing, especially this year, all my baggage, that I don't feel is mine. So my goal here is to work on myself with you, Laura, and then to share that with society.
Beautiful. And I love that you're in touch with that you're holding stuff that isn't yours. So that's a nice way to put it. And, you know, and then, okay, so now we can begin to, you know, do what's appropriate with that stuff that isn't ours. So great. Debbie, we've still got you kind of in shadow. Can we do anything to see you a little bit better?
Hi. Yeah, it's early in the morning. It's like this with the lighting, and I don't have another position for my desk right now.
Okay.
So the one thing I was going to try is turning on my overhead lights, but I didn't want to leave the group. So if you give me a second, I can try.
Sure, go right ahead. We'll take a breath while she's doing that.
I just turned on my, does that help at all? I just turned on my lights, but...
You know, when you leaned back or something
forward,
there's...
What if you raise the brightness on your computer?
That might do something. Wonderful.
It's something I will try to work on.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure exactly how to do that right now. It's just this time of day. I notice throughout the day when I'm on Zoom, it's better. So, and also, it's a rainy day. It's really cloudy and dark.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Well, we can hear you. So, and then maybe for next time, you can get a lamp or something in there that would help. And Michelle actually just made a suggestion. If you can raise the brightness on your computer, that might make a difference.
Brightness. Okay, I'll look that up. Try to do that.
But go ahead. Tell us about you. What are you looking for next? And what's been your obstacles to getting that?
Okay, so I'm also have been in ERC for a few years, and that's how I heard about your work through Lynn and Dr. Rita Marie. And I'm very attracted to energy work. I've been kind of doing different types of energy work over the years, just with my own personal growth and a lot of spiritual work. I'm kind of open to the next chapter for me as far as work, exploring that, and also doing a lot of opening to divine guidance for that. But I know that there's an area that I really need to work on. And I'm hoping to find support and tools through your work. But I love helping people, and I have a very open heart, and I can sense what people feel and even think. And I just get a lot of information. It's helpful in supporting people. And I've done supporting work in the past of different types, teaching and office work and different kinds of support. But what I want to learn is better boundaries with it, so that I can be of help and of service but not feel lost afterwards. Kind of just, I tend to kind of lose my boundaries and lose myself in the process. And so I'm hoping that that's something that I will learn a better balance with it, so I can continue it. And develop it more as a gift without being able to work with it better.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. I mean, I've been waiting for somebody to say this, because there's always at least one or two empaths in the group who I'm sure there are other people who can relate to what Debbie's talking about as far as the boundaries and being really sensitive, feeling other people's feelings and then taking them in or on to yourself and then not knowing quite what to do with that. Yeah, that's definitely something we are going to be addressing starting in this class. And also in future classes of the program. So I'm really glad you're here, and I love the sensitivities and all the gifts that you're already bringing to the work. And so you're going to learn how to protect and take care of those gifts for yourself, so that you can be of more help to others without feeling drained yourself. So thanks, Debbie, for sharing that.
Okay,
great. Jill, aka Barb.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jill, and I'm in the Dr. Rita Marie's Nutritional Endocrinology Program, and have done some work with a couple of other Laura's classes in the last years. So very thankful for what I have learned so far. I am have been an energy worker doing mainly bioenergetic synchronization technique, for short, BEST, for the last almost 15 years. But I've done other energy type therapies too. So I love working with people, and I want to continue increasing my ability to be a really good health and energy coach. And I want to become available for more people. And I'm not quite sure how that will evolve out, but I do want to serve more people, reach more people. And I also know that I've had my own personal roadblocks stopping that process. So personal growth in that area will be great too.
Can you say just a tad more about the roadblocks that you as you see them?
As I've been encouraged over the years to, you know, get out into my community or whatever, I can logically, I go, yeah, I probably should do that, but then I never do. So it's, my business has been pretty much a word of mouth, and a lot of people that in some of the circles that I've been in are very closed to energy work. They're closed to even, you know, changing diets and stuff like that. So that has not been supportive to me, you know, and I'm thinking I need to find some more people in my own town. You know, I feel very thankful for the this group and the people in the NEPT program, because I feel a connection with all of you because of
Okay, thank you, Jill. That's so, it sounds like one of the issues is like follow up, you know, with things, and then also needing support because you don't have a lot of support in your own town. Have I got that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. All right, Heidi. Hello.
Hi. Thanks. So my connection with you and this work is through Dr. Rita Marie. I was part of the insulin resistance and digestive part of the NEPT programs. But I am just, I'm actually taking a combination of holistic health and transformational coaching and finance. And I've been molding it together to, I'm just opening a business now in which I'm decided that I'm a holistic health coach who helps people who are invested in holistic health to create a nourishing relationship with their money.
Thank you. Thank you. That is so needed out there. That is so needed. Great.
Thank you. Yeah. So I really feel like that piece is missing. And we need a more emotional connection to money and finance. So I'm in there. So I do have a lot of experience in some of this area of what we're doing here, but there's so much always more to learn. And I'm here because I want to learn more in this, part of the, you know, energy stuff. So, I do have been working with an energy healer for a long time now, myself and my personal life. And my obstacles and challenges, I think, are like a lot of health coaches. I've had my own, you know, chronic health issues that got me into holistic health, some of which are really unusual and hard to solve, including some vestibular and sensory processing issues. Which make it hard for me to want to be in my body. So I prefer to be in my mind as much as possible. And so one of the things I think I hope to accomplish here is that I've got a lot of tools already to help me with body awareness and body presencing as well as my clients. But there's a lot more for me to learn there. And I'm kind of looking to keep going on that. How to stay connected with my body, even though it's often doesn't feel like a safe place to be because I have trouble with position in space, balance, and the connection of all my sensory processing. So, so anyway.
I love how, yeah. So thank you for that, Heidi. I love how articulate you are about it. You know, how clear you are about the challenges that are there, and also the consciousness that you're already bringing to it. And I think this work is going to help you even another step with that, hopefully. So let's see what unfolds for you in that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Chris.
Hi, everybody. I am currently the director of a very busy yoga retreat center in Austin. And with Laura's encouragement over the last couple years, I joined the TEH program in 2018. I was a certified life coach a few years ago, and it just didn't give me the tools to connect with people as deeply as I wanted to connect with them. And what I'm learning with this program is how to do that, how to connect with people at a very deep level, and it's very rewarding in that way. My obstacles are just taking the time from my other work to dedicate to this practice. So that's kind of my obstacle.
So like making it a priority, or, you know, just logistically, or maybe all of the above?
Yeah, probably all of the above, because I feel like all my mental energy goes to my job, and I don't have much left to kind of work on this practice, but I want to, so it just needs to be more of a priority for me.
Okay, great. Thank you, Chris, for that. Okay, Michelle.
I'm trying to think, like, the question was, what brought us here today?
What brought you here? And then what are you looking for through this work? And what have your obstacles to that goal? Okay. And a little bit about you, what you do, and that kind of thing.
I'm on Dr. Rita Marie's team for the past year. And I've known her almost like 20 years as a friend. And I've gone in and out of following what she preaches and teaches. And I've had a lot of years of doing self-sabotage and disordered eating. And that's now become like my passion that I want to help people with. Mm-hmm. So I feel really excited about that. But I left a teaching career back in June. And then I also have a part-time real estate business. And starting Monday, I'm going to start the Duke Integrated Health Coaching Foundation program. So I decided I do want to get the health coaching certificate. And then for me, like, a huge part of my healing that I'm still doing, like, we're all on a journey, right? Really emotional and spiritual. And like the food piece, the movement piece, like all of that just stems from that for me. And using a lot of mindfulness. I did a silent retreat last summer for 5 days. That was really lovely. I feel like this, I really have like almost no attachment to the outcome of what's going to happen with that certificate when I get it. I just was really like dove into it, was guided to it. It felt right. I signed up. And same thing with this. I'm like, yeah, like I resonate with this. I don't know why. I don't know who I'm going to end up helping with it. I don't know how I'm going to end up helping myself with it. So like my words for this year are surrender and curiosity. Mm. I'm so curious about this next stage of my life because I'm really excited about it. And I know I'm here to affect a lot of change for people and transformation and helping with transitions. I've been through a lot of trauma in my life. And now I'm at the point I don't really have an outcome with it. Like I go with what feels right. And then I'm just like, wow, oh, that's why I did that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you, Michelle. Great to have you. And it'll be interesting that you'll have to tell us at the end what happened. Okay. Good, good. Christopher, I'm glad you could... We could figure it out, and we get to actually see you now. Yay. So we just need to have you unmute now. Here we go.
So that's okay. I'm a medical doctor. I've probably been doing my specialty is like physical medicine and rehabilitation. been doing that for more than 30 years, the last 10 years doing pain medicine. But all along, I've always been interested in nutrition, and actually went to Europe about 10 years ago, got board certified in nutrition, and I'm board certified in integrative holistic medicine. But I've never really practiced that type of medicine. And so before I die, I want to do what I want to do. But so the reason I signed up, my vision is in the next, 6 months, year, to start a new practice, probably working with men with pre-diabetes, early diabetes, just working with them, sort of being a doctor, coach type with them. But it's more, how to work effectively with them to get them to, follow through with the changes to help themselves. And so for me, it's a lot of, instead of just telling people what to do, it's how to figure out how to work better with them. And in the past, I've probably been in transcendental meditation for close to 50 years and Qigong for about 10 years. And so I want to do, stress management and lifestyle and nutrition and functional medicine type things. But so it's more just how I can more effectively deal with them. And also just from some of the other people just talked to, with my pain medicine, I mean, I get stressed. I come home after dealing with listening to people's pain problems all day. You get burned out. But I'm looking just to work part time, and I got two autistic adult sons that take a lot of my time. And so that's my life, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I love that you are giving this to yourself after all those years of being an MD and sort of making this sort of curve over into this direction that you really are passionate about, and especially helping men with diabetes or pre-diabetes. I mean, what a great need there is out there for that. And you've already done so much work in this field yourself. So it'll be interesting to see what this piece will give you and hopefully help you to tie some of those pieces together to integrate them to be able to help your clients to become more, I really hate to use this word compliant because I don't like that word, but let's just say more interested and able to take care of themselves and implement the changes that they want to implement for themselves in their lives. Yeah. So thank you, Chris.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Martha? You're still on mute there.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Whoops. I'm on mute. I'm unmuted. Can you hear me?
There we go. Yeah.
Okay, take two. I'm Martha Massad, and I've been in Dr. Rita Marie's program for some time. And my background, I've done many things. I'm television educated. I was in television, ended up getting thrown into the financial world of doing insurance and securities. And then I have, though, always since I've been about 20, been interested in health and nutrition, and have kind of made that a way of life and been in and out of it. I've been a leader in many situations, but then I ended up in a marriage where I was emotionally battered for about 10 years and beyond that, and it just kind of changed my world. And so one of the things that I really want to work on is standing my ground and not hesitating about who I am. And it's not really a boundary, but it's like, I can do this, I can be successful. But I think there's an afraid element from all the battering and making excuses and being defensive that comes with that. So I want to change that and believe in myself more and get serious so that I've always naturally have wanted to help people. I've been a Wailea League leader. So that was a long time ago, though. So I like being in that mode of coaching and helping people make decisions about their life. But I just need to really get over myself and learn how to stand my ground and tune up and be able to put that energy out there. And until I heard you, I didn't realize that was a pathway I needed to take, that was a missing part of that will help me get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. I I love that you are working on the healing of that and that you are so clear on what you need to do to continue to heal and mend the and that you're facing that now. You're walking toward the fear and the standing of your ground and being with what comes up around that. And that's really what we're going to learn about how we do through this work of subconscious cellular healing. So thank you, Martha, for that. Okay, Robin, can we see you? Is it possible to get you on camera? And or to hear you. You're muted. There we go. Can't hear you yet. Oops. Maybe try chatting with us through the chat because we can't hear you. And we can't see you, but I suspect you're here. So, kind of like God, huh? We can't hear you, we can't see you, but we do suspect you're here. Okay, well, maybe we can try checking in with you in a bit since we're not able to hear you right now. And she might be trying to re-sign in. Okay, so, well, thank you, everybody, for that beautiful share. So just take another deep breath and let's kind of do a little bit of a grounding for a minute. Maybe we've got Robin now. You're still muted. Still can't hear you.
Okay. So I'm being asked to do something I'm afraid of, which is say you skipped me.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Lynn. Thank you. Thank you for
I almost let it slide, and then I was like,
No. I'm so glad that you did not. Okay, well,
maybe if I get this done, then Robin's will magically all happen. But yes. So I'm Lynn, and I am married for almost 30 years and 7 children, 5 grandchildren. I live along the Minnesota-Iowa border. I'm also working with Dr. Rita Marie and am a recent graduate of her nutritional endocrinology practitioner training, as well as the Digestive of Mastering Insulin Resistance term. And I say that all because I am integrating myself into the world. I am seeing how I can be there to support people to create space. My words this year are to be the divine embodiment of spiritual flow.
Mm, beautiful. Anything else that you want to share about an obstacle or anything else that?
I don't even like saying the word obstacle. It's like there's something, some shift that will be occurring that I am okay with myself and the walk I'm on.
I love that. Shifts that are occurring to make you okay with yourself. That's beautiful. And thank you for speaking up. And I also want to just add that Lynn is like the glue of this entire program and on so many levels. So thank you for, you know, not letting yourself be forgotten by me in the background there because you're such a crucial part of everything that we do here. So all right. And Robin, if you want to maybe try chatting something into us a little bit, that would be fine too. But we're going to jump in now. So I want to just ask us all to take a minute to do a little bit of grounding. And that's going to look like just first of all, just rock back and forth on your sits bones on your chair. And take a couple deep breaths as you do that. And breathe. And then let's just tap your feet on the floor. And look down at your legs and tap your thighs. And look at what you're doing so you can actually see yourself come into your body. Tap your lower belly, breathing deeply. Tap your chest, a little Tarzan action. Make some sounds. I can't hear you, you can hear me, but you can make all the loud sounds you want on your end. Tap your face, wake up. Get a little blood going. Tap the top of your head, the crown, come down into your body. Breathing, tap your arm, down your arms. just a little tapping to land and get here. And just squeeze the back of your neck and stroke the front of your neck. And wipe off your face. So just wipe off any tension off your face, your head, your eyes, and shake out your head and neck and make a little sounds. Okay. We here? A little bit better? All right. Thank you for that. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to first of all suggest to all of you as you go through this course that you send this, your ebook, to a printer and have it printed out and spiral bind it, because this will become a resource for you and a referral source for you in many ways. So have it handy, have it easy to read. We spend so many hours in front of the computer as it is. So that would be one recommendation, to just make it a little bit more enjoyable for you to go through the course that way. And so I want to just bring us to the PowerPoint now. And so I'm going to go to a screen share. And we're going to just talk through this quickly. This is the Exceptional Practitioner Mentorship Group. How to increase competence, confidence, and compassion for yourselves and your clients as you go through this work. So there's a big blind spot that we have as practitioners, as therapists, as coaches, as healers, even as parents or siblings or family members or friends, when we are trying to become our most exceptional best. And especially in the medical field or in the health professions, what is that big blind spot? It's that we learned how to focus on what is wrong. We look at what is wrong with ourselves. We look at what is wrong with our clients. We look at everything that as something wrong that I need to fix. There's something wrong with me. I even had a client the other day say to me, I feel like I am disabled in some way, that I'm that there's something inherently wrong with me. So what's the cost when we approach health from that vantage point, that there's something wrong? We feel pressured to fix. How many clients come to you and go, oh, just fix me, just tell me what to do, just put me on the right supplements, just tell me the right, you know, medicine to take, the right pill to take, just the, put your hands on healing on me and fix me, fix me, fix me, right? We all want to be fixed. And so then as the practitioner, you feel this immediate pressure and you feel like you're not qualified. You know, if I can't fix my client, then I'm not good enough. So it's such a setup, right? It's a real trap, entrapped setup when we feel pressured to fix somebody. We also then feel like we have to prove our expertise. So now all of a sudden I'm the expert and you're the person who's coming to pay me. So I have to prove that I'm good. I have to prove these results immediately. I feel this pressure. And I'll become analytical. It puts me right in my brain, in my intellect. I stop seeing the person holistically, and I'm right into that analytical mind. And I'll get judgmental. I'll get judgmental about myself. I'll get judgmental about my clients. Anything else that shows up here? What are the other costs? Anybody else want to toss one in that I didn't name here? Just holler it out if you have a thought.
I had a thought. The notion that we're all broken in some way. I think it's good to try to heal that first and foremost, because I don't think that anybody should walk around with the feeling that they're broken.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for that contribution. So there's that attitude of feeling broken, and also the attitude of us looking at our clients as someone broken. Okay, so what are the consequences when we do that? Our client feels judged. We lose connection and trust, right? They're not going to really trust us, especially if I don't produce results. And if I do produce results, then they're going to make me the magic pill. and there's a pressure, you know, and they won't get the help that you know you can provide, that you know that there's information, there's knowledge, there's wisdom that you have to give, but somehow it's not going to get assimilated by them. So what's the solution? Simple. We focus on what is right with them. We focus on their strengths. And how do we do that? We use non-judgmental observation. And we're really like especially looking for, I love what Diana Fosha, one of my teachers, calls it, glimmers of resilience. Glimmers, we're focusing on glimmers of resilience in our client, where everybody has certain strengths. And we want to, and but they might not perceive those strengths within themselves. They might not even see those strengths within themselves. So we are going to focus on those strengths and highlight them and cultivate them. We're also going to hold an attitude of curiosity and wonder. I love what Michelle shared with us about having this attitude of curiosity and about, you know, where is this going to take me? What is this going to do? Because having an attitude of curiosity and wonder creates receptivity in our energy system, receptivity in our energy field. It opens us to possibilities. Now we're going to get into the energetics. We're going to look for the charge. Well, what does that mean? We're going to look for wherever the charge can be many different kinds. It can be an emotional charge where somebody gets defensive. It can be a physical charge where somebody has, you know, you could say a fibroid or a hot spot or a tension in their body. There's a charge there. There's gelled energy or congealed energy, stuck energy. There's a charge there. We want to look for, we want to be curious about where the charges are. When somebody's belief gets challenged and they rebel against that, we want to go toward wherever the charge is, and we want to bring attention to the sensate aspect of that charge. And I'll talk more about that. There's a lot of meaning to that, bringing attention to the sensation. It lives beneath emotion, and we'll talk about that more as we go through the course. So how do we do that? How do we focus on what is right with them? Well, we first have to connect to our essential self and also to our client's essential self. Well, what is our essential self and what does that mean, this term essential self? So in this image, we see this mountain, right? There's this mountain. And this mountain is, you could say, represents our essential self. It's this incredible depth and wisdom and intelligence and soulfulness and brilliance and beauty and love that each human is innately born with. And these clouds that are in front of the mountain are like our defenses or our beliefs. They block us from seeing this incredible magnificence of what we truly are, which is our essential self. So these beliefs that we come into the world with, that we learned in our acculturation or we learned in our growing up or we learned from our parents, these defenses that limit our perspective are like these clouds. They're really incredibly benign and they're nothing. A good wind can blow them away so that we can begin to perceive and see our essential self. So what are the qualities of our essential self? Well, there are some that I find that are really universal, one of which is there's an aspect of our essential self that enables us or allows us to connect to something that is greater than ourselves. So when we feel connected to something greater than ourselves, there's this innate wisdom that comes through us. We might even hear ourselves saying things like, I don't know how I knew that. Or I don't know why I did that. Or I don't know what happened. Something just came through me. I didn't know that I knew that, right? So this is us being in contact with something greater than ourselves, whether we call that greater than ourselves, spirit, God, wisdom, Christ, Krishna, Buddha, spirit, you know, breath, you know, Hashem, whatever we call it, that is some connection happens that universal consciousness, collective consciousness, there's something that we are attuned or plugged into that's bigger than us. When that mother lifts the car a 1,200-pound car off of her baby's leg, that's something that she's connected to that's greater than her, because her little body didn't have the physical strength to lift that car, right? So we know that potential is out there. We know we have the capacity to connect to that bigger thing, bigger than ourselves. It's open-hearted, it's receptive, it's wise, and it's also humble. So a lot of times there's this subtle arrogance that is this real temptation to come in when we start to develop these skills as of energy in energy healing, or when we get a lot of knowledge. Arrogance naturally wants to follow, but when we're connected to our essential self, we really actually feel humble. And if we don't feel humble, we're not connected to that essential self. So it's a good way to check. Am I really in connection with my essential self? I'm feeling kind of full of myself right now. Nope, guess not, right? Okay. All right, what disconnects us from our essential self? There's lots of different causes, but here are a few. Physical injury, trauma to the tissue. Okay, so in the book I write about energy, you know, I give an example about energy cysts where John Upledger talks about John Upledger, who developed cranial sacral therapy. So some of you are probably familiar with cranial sacral therapy. And he talks about when we have a physical injury where, so let's say, for example, you're in a car accident and you have this slam into of impact that happens. So maybe you get a concussion in your head or something. There's a physical injury that happens. So the force of the impact combined with the energy that the energy goes into the body, the energy goes into the energy body, and it affects the physical tissue of the body. And that can cause, you know, prolonged headaches. I mean, I have a client right now who says to me, I've never been the same since the accident. I've never been the same since the accident. I've never been, it's like a broken record. She keeps repeating that. And it's very interesting. So we're really looking at, we're doing a lot of work going back to that, the trauma of that accident and what happened to her, and what it not only how it affected her energetically, because she's certainly healed on the physical level, but there's an energetic imprint that's still there in the tissue that formed an energy cyst that created these headaches for her. So when we went in, and by the way, this is all being done long distance with her. I'm working with her long distance. When we went in to work with those, with the energy of that, the energy cyst of that, what came up for her was this fear of driving, this fear of driving back to the area where the actual accident happened. And even though she had done that, she had gotten in her car and she had done that, she would have these emotional sensations that would come over her of nervousness and anxiety every time it would happen. Her body would get tense. And so we would go in and we would work with the energy sensation and begin to allow that to move, because what was happening for her when she started to feel the sensation of the energy that was trapped in that energy cyst, she would have terrific fear come through her body. So what's our first impulse when we have fear is to move away from fear. We want to move out of fear. But when we're going to heal fear, we go toward it, and we have to, and this is part of what we learn in this work, is how to support our clients in tolerating sensation that we might label as fear. And there's a whole step-by-step process that we do that to help them feel safe to go toward that. But when they do that, then they start to embody that aliveness, and it actually becomes a healing force to heal the chronic pain patterns that have been in, that have been in their body. And it happens very quickly and very deeply, because it goes to the core of where the energy issue happened. Okay, so stopping the energy flow from painful experiences, I kind of just talked about that. Barbara Brennan calls these frozen psychic time conglomerates. So another example of that might be when you're a one-year-old child, if you fell down the stairs, and or let's say, you know, your father hit your mother, and you saw it. You were standing there and you saw it happen, and you were a baby, and you got terrified. And And your whole little system learned how to, you know, maybe shut down or disconnect in some way. And so whenever you hear loud fighting, your whole body tightens up. And so, and you get this, reaction where you can't move or you can't think or you can't even speak. Well, that's a regressive experience back to our one-year-old stage where I can't formulate words, I can't express myself well, but yet I'm an adult. And that frozen psychic time conglomerate is still in there until we energetically go into the system, find where it lives in our body, and let it unwind. And how do we find that now? Well, our entry point into that is through chronic, repetitive, mental or emotional or physical, I should have added here, physical pain patterns that often lead to diseases. So right now we could try this out, all of us, by just thinking about for a minute, where do you have chronic problems? Where do you have a chronic problem? And if you want to put that in the chat for a minute, you know, maybe somebody has like, I keep spraining the same ankle over and over again, or I've had digestive problems all my life, or I've had headaches, you know, what are your chronic problems? So go ahead and do a little sharing in the chat about what your chronic problems are. And then we're going to do something with that in just a few minutes. Okay, so what do we do to connect with our essential self? Well, we're going to learn a three-step heart-centered meditation. I know Rita Marie teaches a lot of the heart math meditation. This is really important. Some of you may already do your own meditation practice. That's beautiful. That's great. Meditation practices, all, you know, they're wonderful. They all do different things. I want to just briefly teach this meditation technique because it's very powerful. And, you know, I've done a lot of research on many, many kinds of meditations. They do lots of different things. You can use this one if you'd like, but we're going to try it out for literally just about 2 minutes right now. So I'd like you all to just close your eyes. And just get comfortable. Just close your eyes and take a deep breath. And I'd like you to imagine, if you want to go ahead and place your hands on your heart center, you can do that. Just place your hands over the center of your chest, over the heart chakra. And take a couple deep breaths. And imagine that you can feel that spiritual presence or universal presence, that thing that is greater than you, that connects you to your essential self. Imagine that you can feel that presence within you right now, and especially in your heart center. Take it deep into your heart center. And once there in your heart center, I'd like you to begin to visualize yourself in a beautiful place. But you're not alone. This spiritual being's spiritual presence is with you. And give that presence a form, just with your imagination, whether that form is a spirit guide, a totem animal, a Christ, a Buddha, a Krishna, a loving grandmother, a dear friend, someone or something where you feel universally loved is with you. And I'd like you to imagine the face of that being, that beloved being, smiling at you right in front of you right now. Maybe reaching out and putting their hand on your arm or taking your hand in theirs. Now I'd like you to imagine that you're walking down a beautiful path together that's lined with flowers, fragrant flowers, and you take an inhale and you can smell. Maybe you're smelling honeysuckle or lilac or roses. And you walk down this path together and you feel so happy. Maybe you're even skipping or running together. And you come to this beautiful place where there's rushing water and it's pristine clean. And you go and you drink this fresh, pure, clean water together. And you feel it trickle down your throat and come into your body. and heal you from the inside. And you feel so happy and so peaceful. And now, ever so slowly, you're going to walk back down this path. And you're going to turn and look at your friend, your beloved, one more time. And thank them for this precious time together and this feeling that you are experiencing inside because of it. Knowing that you can come back to this place, come back to this connection anytime you want. And so for now, just say goodbye. And I'd like you just to quickly jot down just a word or two in the chat about what you feel or felt from that. And maybe some people had a hard time, and that's fine too. If you felt nothing, that's okay to say too. Whatever you felt, go ahead and just jot that down in the chat. So there's lots of benefits to meditation, and I don't want to talk too much about this because there's so much more still to cover, and I'm realizing how short we are in time. But it synchronizes and balances brain waves. It activates brain centers associated with happiness. It rewires neurological pathways, regulates the autonomic nervous system, regulates emotional states, trauma response, accesses our natural warmth, compassion, and kindness, opens our mental and spiritual chakras, our high sense perception, accesses expanded states of consciousness, and helps us become more present in the moment. This is super important that we do a little meditation before we work with our clients. And I am going to challenge you all to do a 5-minute meditation every day until I see you next time. We'll talk about that more at the end. But I want to talk now quickly about this chart, because this is important. We have two things going on here. We have our reactive mind, and I ask you to think about and start working with your objective observer mind as well. And I talk about that in the book, the objective observer part of the mind and then our reactive mind. And let's just distinguish these two things, right? So our reactive mind identifies with feelings, thoughts, and defenses. And so, for example, I've worked with a number of clients who just have talked about how, and I think this is especially true for men, how they'll just shut off their tears. That tears are a sign of weakness. I'll be humiliated if I cry. I'm weak if I cry. So I'll just withdraw from my sadness and my grief. And if you do something that hurts my feelings, instead of telling you about it or sharing about it or feeling it, I'll just withdraw and you don't deserve me. And I'll identify with my feeling of withdrawal rather than objectively observing my feelings. Wow, I really feel hurt. I really feel sad. I notice I want to withdraw when I get hurt. So that would be the difference between reacting, identifying with my feeling, or identifying my feeling. Okay, our reactive mind is subject to our beliefs, but our objective observer, our beliefs become objects. So what does that mean? Well, for example, if I have a belief, if I'm subject to the belief that all leaders or all authority figures are manipulative, I'm not going to go along just because the leader says I should and because everybody else is. So I'm going to rebel. I'm going to be subject to my belief that all leaders are manipulative. But if my belief becomes an object, then I'm more at ease when I create alone and independent time. So even though everybody wants me to go along, I might have to objectify this belief that I have and give myself some independent time and see if I can comply without feeling like I'm being manipulated. Is this making sense so far? Our reactive mind is judgmental. All politicians are corrupt. I just had to throw that one in, right? But I would be, if I'm in my objective observer, I'm going to have an unbiased mind and I'm going to evaluate each person for themselves individually. If I'm in my reactive mind, I'll reject what is and wish it were different. I'm going to eat whatever I want. I wish I wasn't diabetic, but I don't care. Okay, so that would be an example of rejecting what is, wishing it were different, instead of noticing what is and accepting what is. I'm grieving because I have diabetes, and I have to give some things up that I really enjoy. And that's going to be sad for me. And I'm willing to accept and allow the grief to come in. If I'm in my reactive mind, it's unmanageable. And I'm pissed off, you're late, and you ruined my evening. Okay, that would be an example of my reactive mind. I'm pissed off because you're late and you ruined my evening as a result. But if I'm in my objective observer, I'm going to be centered, grounded, calm, and it's going to be workable. So I'm disappointed that we can't make the movie now because you were late. Let's talk about some other options. I'll be centered enough and grounded enough that I'll be able to manage my emotions, my reactivity. My reactive mind lives in the past and fears for the future. You're always late. I can't trust you to pick me up on time. When we hear the words always and never, we're living in the past. You always do this. You never do that. And the future is a lot of shoulds and should nots. I should not eat that cake. I should not go to that party. I should do this. But the present, the power is in the present. And the present time is in the now. I'm thinking I should arrange another option or a backup plan. Tomorrow's appointment is really important for me to be on time. And because this person is not often, you know, as mindful of time as I am, I better arrange a backup plan. Okay, so I'm present in the now. When I'm in my reactive mind, I recycle repeating patterns. I just don't feel like exercising today, so I'm not going to. That's my repeating pattern. In my objective observer, I'm challenged to step outside of familiar patterns. I'm calling a friend to walk with me because it's just feeling too difficult. I can't motivate myself without help today. I'm going to step out of my familiar pattern. Ah, just like Lynn modeled that so beautifully for us. I'm going to speak up. Laura, you forgot me. So that's not, you know, that I'm going out of my familiar pattern of my comfort zone and I'm going to speak up. Not easy to do, right? So this is what where community really helps us. And our reactive mind is oftentimes too reactive to connect. I don't want to talk about it. I just don't want to talk about it. So I'll withdraw. But my objective observer says I'm present and available for connection, available for relationship. This really feels vulnerable to me to share this with you. And I'm really feeling like I'd like to talk so we can get closer and move past this. Okay. So there are three steps to develop the objective observer. One is to notice reactivity, their reactivity, and my own reactivity. Not to judge it. If they're reactive, I don't get to say, oh, you're reactive, right? It's not to point it out, but just to notice, I wonder if they're in their reactive mind right now. Or I wonder if I'm in my reactive mind right now. And then relax into our essential self. Give myself a chance to connect with my essential self. And then trust that this is a process, that it's the journey is the process. And I'm looking to balance it between the head and the brain and the heart. Okay, so. Questions. We'll take those questions in a minute. I want to come out of the screen share, but I want to just tell you about this. I usually like to offer this to first-time groups. I offer a one-time three-session shift. It's 3 one-hour sessions for a breakthrough of a self-destructive pattern to help you get to the root cause of an issue and to help you free yourself from the fear of aliveness that lives in that sensation. And it's $4.95. You can email me personally if this is something that you're interested in. So let's come out of the share now and we'll take some questions and then hopefully we'll do a little bit of more. So any questions on that? So no questions at the moment. All right, that's fine. So what I'd like to do then is I'd like to break us up for just a real quick 5 minutes. We don't have a lot of time left, so it's just going to be a quick 5 minutes. So Lynn, if we can just do a 5-minute breakout into three groups. We're going to go with Lynn, myself, and Kimberly. And during that time, I'd like to ask you to talk about where you notice your chronic patterns live in your body and what they, and if there was an emotion that was connected to that chronic issue, what might it be? So, for example, I had colic as a baby, and I grew up eating ice cream every night before bed. That was our treat. That was back when I'm old enough. That was back when dairy was good for you, right? It was dairy. It was healthy. So every night before bed, we got this treat of ice cream. And I started having allergies at about 8 years old. I started to get allergy symptoms. And I've had digestive challenges all my life, partly, I think, as a result of that. And so, So for me, even growing up as a young adult, you know, what was my treat before bed? Ice cream, because it was soothing. Then I would learn, okay, if I didn't eat it so late at night, I would eat it for dinner. Then I would just skip dinner and I'd have ice cream for dinner instead. But I used it as a form of self-nurturing. And what it was I nurturing myself from it in my digestive pain in my belly? The emotion of fear and anxiousness. That was the emotion that would come up for me when I started to look at that, because, and it tracked all the way back to my colicky babyhood of the fighting that would happen between my parents on a regular basis, loud screaming fighting in the household a lot. So it uncovered a fear statement, a belief statement that everyone is mad and unhappy. And so that this is just sort of a very quick example that I'm trying to give you. But what I would like you to do is think of a chronic pain place in your own body and put your hand on that place right now. And if that place in your body had an emotional quality, what would it be? So for me, when I put my hands on my belly, that emotional quality was anxiousness and fear. So wherever you have your hand on your body, if there were an emotional quality, what would it be? And if it had a belief, what would that belief be? And if it had a need, what would the need be? So we're going to just go into small groups for about 5 minutes, and not everybody will have time to share, but if you could just do a couple little shares and whatever came up around that, we can do that, and then we'll come back together in our big group. So Lynn's going to break us up. Okay, and just click on join.
Laura, you're muted. We can't hear you.
Okay. So Kimberly, I mean, while we're waiting for everybody else to return, why don't you go ahead and share whatever you wanted to say there? You're muted now.
My spot is my eyes, and it's the emotion is unexpressed anger, and the belief is if I express what I'm angry about, it'll be dangerous. I'm not allowed to say it, and I won't be loved if I say it.
Wow. So clear. Thank you for that. Great example. Okay, we're all returning back now.
Did something happen? I had put each of us as a leader, and I just heard from somebody they had a leader in one of the rooms. And
Kimberly was in. Kimberly and I were together in the same room. All right.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened, but I.
No worries. So it looks like we lost a few people.
So they probably don't know what to do. Let me go in and find that room.
Okay. So while we're waiting for the rest of them to return, I would love, because we only have a few minutes left, and I know we're low on time here. I would love to just do a little bit of closure and ask us to do just a word or two, a checkout word or two, but in closing, and how was this sort of kickoff for us today? Jan, would you like to get us started with that?
Sure. My word would be gratitude, and I always learn something new. So thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Valerie, anything in closing?
I think just more curiosity.
Okay, great. Robin, I don't know if we can hear you yet, but I'm glad you're still hanging in. Laura, anything in closing that you'd like to share? Laura? You're on mute still. I was just asking for closing comments. I don't know if you can hear me. All right, let's go on to Jill. Any closing comments?
Yeah, the word that came to my mind was awareness. I gathered some awareness for myself today. And also, it is something that in becoming a gaining skills from this course and the past times that we've had, one of my goals is to have greater awareness for my clients and for myself. So
good. Thank you. We're just doing closing comments for those of you who have just joined back in. Just a very, very brief closing comment because we're really out of time. But I'd love to, and in case some of you have to drop off right away, before we continue on with that, I do want to just close by asking you, challenging you to do a 5-minute meditation every day until I see you again, to work on that meditation, to practice connecting to your essential self. So anybody willing to do that, to do a 5-minute, commit to a 5-minute meditation? Okay, so we'll do a check-in on that daily and see how that goes for you. Thank you for that. Okay, so just doing quick closing remarks. Jessica, do you want to jump in there?
Sure, connection. I really feel connection. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Okay. Kimberly, closing remark.
Community. Loving the sense of connection and community.
Thank you. Debbie, closing remarks.
Awareness, also the word awareness and openness. I'm just, this year I feel really open to the new and releasing old patterns, releasing the past. And this is part of that new openness and awareness.
Great. Thank you for the new.